Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and internet ministry. Now, for the past few programs of Hope for Today, we've been studying from Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Our study is titled, The Coming of the Son of Man. We're still only partway through our text, so we'll continue that study today. As we begin, I remind you that this text provides several clear indicators that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. The first indicator we looked at was spiritual deception. I believe Jesus listed spiritual deception first because it has the greatest potential to destroy us and to destroy our faith in Him. If we succumb to spiritual deception, we may survive physically, but we will be eternally lost. The second indicator that will precede the coming of the Son of Man is political commotion. Jesus pointed his listeners to some things that would happen in the near future, that is, in their lifetime. But he also mentioned some things that would happen in the distant future. And we see our world being prepared for some of those future things. Another indicator of the coming of the Son of Man is religious persecution. Certainly Jesus' disciples faced this, especially after Pentecost and the birth of the early church. But furthermore, Christ followers around the world today are suffering persecution. But Jesus points to a time of persecution that's coming that will be unprecedented, and it will be worldwide. Now there are several more indicators we want to look at. To prepare for our teaching, let me read the text, Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. for there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be dominated by Gentile powers until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Today, you and I are currently living in that time. Now you might say, but Israel is back in the land since 1948 and it's an independent state. Yes, that's true. But who controls the holy sites and who controls the Temple Mount? I ask you, what other country in the world has its every move scrutinized and criticized? It's still under Gentile domination. So we wait for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Now, you may know there are some today who say, God is through with the Jew. The church is the new Israel. I say, not so fast. That flies in the face of Romans 11:25 and other scriptures. Paul writes, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Notice that Jesus used the word until when speaking about the time of the Gentiles. That suggests a time limit on their domination of Jerusalem. Let me assure you, friend, God will keep his promises. So what can we learn from Jesus' words? First, whatever the scriptures predict will happen. It may come early or late, according to our timetable, but God's not bound to our puny understanding. He is sovereign, and he will fulfill all his will. In addition, we see the need for unity among the people of God. Josephus tells us about the terrible division happening in the city of Jerusalem, even as it was under siege by the Romans. There were different Jewish factions who were fighting and killing each other instead of focusing on the common enemy outside. Doesn't that sound a lot like the church today? You know, the time may well come when we will be under such stress that we'll gladly lay aside our petty divisions and embrace everyone who is a genuine follower of Jesus. And so I say, let's not wait. Let's start doing that today. Religious persecution will be one of the indicators of the coming of the Son of Man. Another indicator will be cosmic disruption. That's right. Jesus said there will be signs in the heavens and on the earth. There will be cosmic disruption. You can see the list in verses 25 and 26. Now, it becomes obvious right away that these things are only distantly connected with Jesus' prophecies about the end of the age. The destruction of Jerusalem was at the beginning of this long time period. The things mentioned here in the last part of our text come when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So that means we're still waiting for them. This mixing of prophecies shouldn't surprise us. They're mixed all through the Old Testament. God, through the prophets, didn't make a clear distinction between events in the near future and events in the distant future. Let me give you an example, by the way of Peter's words on Pentecost. Listen to what he said. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now listen. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you hear that? Peter quoted Joel's prophecy, but the last part of it certainly didn't happen at Pentecost. There were no wonders in the heavens. There was no blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun was still shining in its brightness, and the moon didn't turn to blood. Now, there was some of that at the destruction of Jerusalem, to be sure, fire and smoke. But the ultimate fulfillment of these things will happen just before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Mark's gospel states it this way: But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. That's Mark 13:24-25. Notice Mark equates these cosmic disturbances with the time of unprecedented worldwide persecution of God's people. Matthew 24:21 says of this persecution, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be." Revelation 6:13 records the falling of stars from the heavens to the earth. Jesus further states that the powers of heaven will be shaken. The root of this word that's translated shaken is the same word that's used of the roaring of the waves of the sea in verse 25. The motion of the oceans will be dramatically affected by these disturbances in the heavens. Well, that makes sense to us. We know the moon and the sun have tremendous effect on the tides of the ocean. So the normal processes of the universe will be out of kilter. That leads us to the final indicator of the coming of the Son of Man. But that final indicator will need to wait for the next broadcast of Hope for Today. And, Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Coming of the Son of Man. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, again, is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we conclude our study, The Coming of the Son of Man. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.